Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spiritual Insights with Charlotte Spicer. Spirituality and Metaphysics Talk Radio, featuring A Course in Miracles, Dream Interpretation, Guided Meditation, and the Psychic and Metaphysics Free-for-All. It's your opportunity to consult with a professional psychic medium, discuss past lives, the chakras, and more. We are non-denominational, and there are no limits. Want to change your life? You must first change your mind. No matter your religious structure, cultivate peace in your reality through self-awareness with an authentic spiritual teacher. And now, your host, Charlotte Spicer.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Spiritual Insights. I'm so happy to be back with Dr. Robert Rosenthal to fulfill our mission for our monthly segments on A Course in Miracles and From Plagues to Miracles and all that we have in common. Bob is the permanent guest co-host for these segments. Bob, good to be back with you.
Great to be here. Thanks so much, Char. And for all the listeners, I'm more comfortable with Dr. Bob, so we can run with that for the next however long.
Yeah, I think it's a great way to go, especially with medical professionals and those with a PhD. I've explained to a lot of people that, you know, we need to give respect to the hard work that you put in for your education.
Thank you.
But using your first name makes you accessible. And
I agree.
You know, I think it's, and it's fun. So, Dr. Bob, for all the listeners, that's how we address our wonderful professionals. But I'm really having a lot of fun with this, being able to talk with someone else and sharing. Again, we said for the last segment, but in case you're new to the show, if you would like to call in and ask a question, you can certainly do that, and I'll give the number out in a little bit. But if you have a question in your mind, simply throw up a prayer or say it out loud, whatever you want to do, and whatever will come out of our mouths is probably going to be related to what you're thinking. So go ahead and use the energetic connection to speak with us if you are into that. So today we're going to talk about manifestation, miracles, and the Holy Spirit. Bob, take it away. What would you like to start with?
Yes, manifestation, miracles, and the Holy Spirit. Let's start by recognizing just how big a topic manifestation is in the New Age world today. If you think about the best-selling and most popular spiritual systems and authors, Abraham Hicks, Wayne Dyer, and of course, you know, the phenomenal best-selling series, The Secret, the emphasis is on creating, manifesting what you want here in physical reality and letting you know that you can do that and that you have the power and the ability to do that. And although I've certainly been able to manifest things in my own life and taken great pleasure in that, I think that when we look at manifestation in a broader context, in the big picture of what A Course in Miracles tells us and of what Plagues to Miracles tells us, we arrive at a different, and I would say a deeper understanding of just what's going on. So what I'm hoping to do today is to give you that broader context and look at manifestation in terms of what it is, what it isn't, what it achieves, what it will never achieve, and how manifestation takes different forms and actually some paradoxical forms depending on where you are in your life, what your needs are, and what stage of the spiritual journey you're on. So, again, if you have questions, do feel free to call in because I think sometimes this material comes to life at its best when real people have real issues that they call in with. And as Char said, she'll give you the number, and we'll do that a couple of times through the show because people might be tuning in late. But I'd like to start with just that idea of you know, can we really create what we want? What is physical reality? And if you look at works like Abraham Hicks, or I think the latest bestseller is called E Squared, where the author sets out five or six different contingencies to show you that there is this principle in action, this law of attraction that will bring you what you want, you will get different results. I believe that if you are needing a wake-up call, if your path is such that you feel very stuck and your life is not working, and you sincerely and genuinely request of the universe, help, I need help, I do believe that help will be offered. It may not always come in the exact form that you're expecting it to come in, and that's a good thing, because as we'll see, we seldom know what's best for ourselves. But I do believe that help will come. However, at a different stage of the spiritual path, when we realize that the entire physical world of form is not our reality, and what we're really working towards is recapturing our essence as pure love, as God, as spiritual beings, having an experience in the physical world, or if we go with the Exodus metaphor, being entrapped in the slavery of the physical world. If that is the case, then whatever comes to us can only serve that path. In other words, if you think you need a real a 75-inch color screen TV, 75-inch TV with all the bells and whistles, at one point in the path, that might be very appropriate. At another point, if you believe that having a possession or an object or a particular style of relationship is going to bring you lasting happiness and fulfillment, then what you will receive will be the proof that that's not so, because that's what will advance you on your path. So what I want to look at today is these different stages, as I like to think of them, and as Exodus maps them out, of manifestation, of miracles, and how they work for us, even when we're not clear, when we're not clear what we're receiving. And I have some great examples just from, you know, the last 24 hours of my own life that I will be happy to share. So, Char, before I go further with the sermon here, how does that strike you?
I am having revelations in my head. I am getting the chills hearing you talk. I feel like I'm shifting, because everything you're saying is making so much sense, and it's perfect for where I am right now, today, in my mind and in my heart. What I will do quickly, and then I'll let you continue, is I'll give the number out now. We already have somebody on the line, but I'm going to ask you, caller, area code 425, to hang in for a little while, and let's let Bob kind of get this out. And the phone number, listeners, is area code 347-934-0751. Call in, press 1 to talk to Dr. Bob, and you will be put on hold, and then I will get to the calls as soon as we find an appropriate break in the dialogue. But everything you're saying, Bob, is inspiring, so please continue.
Great. So let's start by looking at the Exodus story, because I think it's probably the best illustration that I've ever found of how miracles, how manifestation, how Spirit, God, gives us what we need at different stages of how that works. So I'd like to just walk our listeners through that, and then we can look at some specific examples of how this works, because it always comes to life in the stories. So the very first miracle in Exodus is a strange one, and I think people don't generally recognize it as such. It's the birth of Moses, and that we don't even have to ask for. The very fact that we find ourselves entrapped in a physical universe that is rife with pain and suffering, as the Buddha said, life is dukkha, life is suffering, the very fact that we are here implies that there is something else. And so the moment that we incarnate, the moment that we find ourselves in a body that is capable of pain and suffering, the alternative is already there. The Moses mind is born. Only it's not really born. That's just in the Exodus story. Moses is there long before we're enslaved. Moses is the part of the mind coming from spirit that is, well, as the Course in Miracles would put it, it was God's instant reply to our separating from him, her, it. So the first miracle of Exodus is just the presence of Moses. But Moses can't help us. The Moses mind can't do anything for us until we're ready. And therefore, if you read Exodus carefully, and again, all of this I describe in greater detail in From Plagues to Miracles, but the point at which the story comes to life is when the Hebrew people, who are a symbol for all of us, enslaved and seeking something better, seeking the promised land, the first step comes when they cry out for help. So until we recognize that we need help and that we are incapable of getting it for ourselves, Holy Spirit, manifestation, it's all blocked off. Whether you're using Abraham Hicks, whether you're using The Secret, whether you're using Course in Miracles, if you think you have the answers, if you think you know what you need in life, and if you are sure that you know the path to get there, you know, you've got your 10-point plan or your 5-year plan and you're executing, there is no room in your life for the miracle. There is no room in your life for a manifestation that would take you in a different direction. Uh-huh. Now, at certain ages, that's okay. You know, when we're in our early 20s, we tend to think of life as, you know, we're going to go out there and take that bull by the horns and wrestle it down, and that feels good. And sometimes it takes, you know, years of wisdom to get to that place of help, 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 help. Anyone who's worked a 12-step program knows that that's actually the first step, and it is in Exodus 2. But what happens after the Hebrews cry out for help? Well, Moses is already in exile. He's just kind of hanging out, having a normal life, tending to his father-in-law's flocks on the mountain of God, and lo and behold, he sees a burning bush. I think the burning bush is a wonderful metaphor, symbol, example of early miracles on the path because they wake us up. We're going through life thinking that we know what's out there, and all of a sudden we encounter something that is completely inexplicable. It doesn't fit into our worldview at all. In fact, it will usually knock our socks off, but usually not in a way that's terribly scary. The burning bush, again, is a beautiful example because seeing it, Moses has to turn aside from his sheep, from the life he's on, and pay attention. And in doing so, he hears the voice for God. But he's not terrified. You know, if God had manifested, I don't know, a cloud that had come down as a tornado and ripped everything up, Moses might have run away. So these early miracles are not going to be frightening for us. They're wake-up calls. They're the alarm going off gently and saying, okay, it's time. And I think this is where if you are new to manifestation and you are asking sincerely for help, you will get that help. I know when Course in Miracles first came into my life, I had a fairly astounding experience that I was having a lot of trouble with the Course in Miracles. Its language was very Christian for this, Jewish boy, even though he wasn't a terribly observant Jew. And I wasn't sure if I wanted to continue with it because the Course was saying that, you know, we're not, that we are spirit, that mind is one. And I believed at the time that it was our task to conquer the world and have wonderful experiences. So anyway, I was having a lot of trouble with the Course, and I was reading it at a ski resort, and a young janitor came up. I was the only one in the dorms, and we started having a conversation because he asked me what I was reading. I didn't want to tell him it was A Course in Miracles. He wouldn't have known what that was. The book hadn't even been published yet at the time. So I lied, and I said, it's a book about the mind. And we had this little five-minute talk about the mind, and he walks away and he says, well, all I know is that all real pleasure comes from doing God's will. And I thought, ah, he's a religious nut. I'm so glad that, you know, I didn't get trapped talking to him. And then I went back, opened up A Course in Miracles, to where I'd left off. The very next line said, all real pleasure comes from doing God's will. So that was a burning bush miracle because, you know, it didn't terrify me. It didn't put me in any position I didn't know how to handle. But it was a big wake-up call because there is no way that that guy saw my book or could have in any way given me that line in that way. And so I paid attention. I was like, all right, I'm gonna keep working with this material.
So I would have sat for 20 minutes just staring at the carpet like, oh, my God, what just happened, you know?
Yes, exactly.
But it makes perfect
scary.
Sense. Mm-hmm.
It wasn't scary. I mean, another example that I use in From Plagues to Miracles is a woman who, when she started using A Course in Miracles, was driving and said, you know, is this really true? Because if it is, I want something that's going to stop me in my tracks. And she had a blowout of her tire instantly, car dragged to the side of the road. But she wasn't hurt. The car wasn't hurt. You know, she just got this very dramatic demonstration of what Moses got with the burning bush. He had to turn aside. He couldn't keep going with his life path. And that's what early manifestation miracles are about. The problem is, as egos, we get kind of addicted to them, and we start thinking we're really special. Look at me. I was able to manifest my new car, and my friend over there, yeah, she can't do that. I've manifested really good health, and so-and-so hasn't. So the ego climbs on board these early miracles, even though they serve a very useful function. They wake us up. They can only take us so far along the path. And that gets us to the next stage of manifestation in miracles, which is where the real struggle comes in between Moses and Pharaoh, the Moses mind and the ego mind. And that's where we are faced with innumerable decisions regarding, are we spirit seeking to offer love and forgiveness, as the Course defines it, to all of our brothers and sisters on the planet? Or are we egos striving to conquer, to be kings, to rule over others, and to get what we want, to enslave other people and the world to our will? And in Exodus, this plays out through the contest between Moses and Pharaoh, better known as the Ten Plagues. The essence of the Ten Plagues is Moses says, let my people go. Pharaoh says no, and a plague happens to help convince him. Now, plagues aren't punishment. They're just feedback. When we are enslaved to our ego mind and we can't let go, life stops working very well. But nobody recognizes this as useful manifestation, even though it is. There are, you know, probably several hundred thousand sober alcoholics out there who can testify that coming through their alcoholism and getting into AA and working the 12 steps has completely changed their lives. And in that sense, the plague of alcohol and hitting bottom and the 10th plague was their gateway to spiritual freedom and a completely different understanding of themselves. So in this stage, even though we may not be asking for it, the fact that we want to move ahead on the spiritual path actually opens the door for what can look like suffering. By the same token, getting the manifestations we want also leads us forward, because at a certain point we realize that the 70-inch full living color Blu-ray TV, now that we have it, doesn't make us happy, and we actually want the new model that has even more features. And the car we got, well, it got old. Someone dinged it up in a parking lot. That's not satisfying us anymore either. And so I like to say that God, Holy Spirit, leads us forward in two different ways, by giving us what we think we want so that we ultimately recognize that it doesn't make us happy. It's not the key to happiness. and by depriving us of what we think we want so that we suffer, and in our suffering we realize that there must be a better way, and we open up ourselves to spirit to discover that better way. So this is, I would think of it as the second stage of manifestation, and the second stage is capped off by the granddaddy of all miracles in Exodus, the parting of the Red Sea. If we think about the parting of the Red Sea, in Exodus, the Hebrew people are trapped against the banks of the Red Sea. Pharaoh has already let them go. Ego has already suffered its 10th plague and said, okay, you are free. But ego can't learn. The ego is incapable of real growth. So even though it's, you know, even though Pharaoh has said to the Hebrew people, the ego has said, all right, I get it. You know, spirit is it, and I need to, you know, take a back seat and ultimately disappear. Ego doesn't stay there. It can't. So ego rises up again and says, all right, I'm coming after you. I really do know how to run the show. I know what's best for you. And ego pursues the Hebrews as in the form of Pharaoh in Exodus. So with our backs against this impossible barrier, the Red Sea represents the place in our lives where we are confronted with some obstacle. It could be a true survival issue. It could be a relationship that we cannot change no matter what. It could be terrible financial peril. Whatever it is, we see no way through. And in that circumstance, the manifestation is not about the getting of things, but about, please, help us to move through this obstacle. In a way, it mirrors the Hebrew people calling out for help early in Exodus. So here is, it really is part and parcel of the plagues, but I think this is what I would call the miracle of safe passage, of discovering that where we saw obstacles with our ego mind, from spirit's point of view, there was no obstacle. And that when we let go and let God, when we recognize that our way isn't going to work, then we have the most profound demonstration. But not for any, you know, ego can't climb aboard this one. Ego can't say, wow, look how great I am that, you know, I made the Red Sea part. No, this one is truly about moving forward. And then finally, in the more, I would call, advanced stages of the spiritual journey of the path, and I use the word advanced carefully because I don't want to imply that anyone is better than anyone else. Ego jumps on that and goes, oh, I'm more advanced than you. Here, kiss my ring. No, time is an illusion. In that sense, we're all making the same journey. There's a wonderful poem by the Islamic 13th century poet Jalal ad-Din Rumi, where he talks about a caravan setting out, and some of the camels leave in the early morning, and others leave after breakfast, and others leave in the afternoon. But at the end of the journey, they all arrive at the oasis. They all get there. They just get there at different times. So when I say advanced, I guess I'm just talking about those who left a little earlier and are further along on the path. Now, how does manifestation look here? Well, it's funny. It seldom looks anything like the early burning bush miracles. It seldom even looks like the Red Sea crossing miracles, because at this stage, we know that we're spirit. We know that any obstacle that rises up is just, you know, kind of a knee-jerk, attempted coup by the remnants of our ego mind. So miracles at this stage of the journey show up through the metaphor of what Exodus describes as manna. What is manna? Manna appears every morning. The Hebrews are told to go out and gather it, and they will. And manna has this property of tasting like whatever you want, although in Exodus it says that it tastes a particular way. But in the Jewish teaching, manna satisfies whatever need you have in any way that you need it. It's exactly the right amount for that day. And if you try to gather too much and store it up for the next day, you know, if you piggy bank it or put it in an IRA, it goes bad the next day. Manna, therefore, represents the ongoing flow of spirit bringing to us what we need, when we need it in pure present tense and only then. And in fact, there's a great passage from A Course in Miracles from the text that that I want to read in this regard. It says, only the Holy Spirit knows what you need, for he will give you all things that do not block the way to light. And what else could you need? In time, that is in physical reality, he gives you all the things that you need have and will renew them as long as you have need of them. He will take nothing from you as long as you have any need of it. And yet, he knows that everything you need is temporary and will but last until you step aside from all your needs and realize that all of them have been fulfilled. Leave then your needs to him. So in the stage of mana, in a sense, we're in this open, receptive place, and we don't even know our needs. So let me give a good example of this. Last night, I drove to Philadelphia with my son. He had a birthday recently, and we were going to see a concert by one of the remaining members of the Grateful Dead. I was a big Grateful Dead fan in the day, and my son, God bless, really enjoys the band too. So we were going into Philadelphia. We were going to have a good dinner. I'm sorry, were you going to say something, Char?
No, I was just laughing.
Yeah.
Funny.
Well, you know.
And I'm craving a cheesesteak, and you're saying you're driving into Philadelphia, so you're...
The home of the cheesesteak.
You know I'm from South Philly, right?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, I moved to Florida when I was 34, and I've been craving cheesesteaks, and the topic came up earlier today, and now you're saying Philly, and my mouth is watering. But I'm glad your son likes the Grateful Dead. So go ahead. How was the concert?
So we were heading into Philly, and we were actually going to have a nice dinner at a restaurant that we'd picked out, and then go off to the show. And being something of a planner, I was thinking, all right, we need to leave at a certain time, and we could hit some traffic, and parking could be an issue, yada yada yada. And of course, we don't leave at the exact time, and we get on the road, and lo and behold, you know, about 15 miles from Philly on I-95, we hit just this wall of traffic, and to make it worse, we're driving straight into the sun, and I don't have sunglasses with me, and part of me wants to just go, this is ridiculous, I'm never doing it again. You know, my ego mind is not happy. Now, I would be lying to you if I didn't say that I asked for a miracle. Please, part the Red Sea, make the traffic go away. I want to get there when I want to get there. But I know in asking for that that's not appropriate for this stage of the path because I'm wanting the Red Sea to part for an ego goal. Oh, I want to get there on time. I want to do it a certain way. And I also knew that there was far more learning for me in sitting in the traffic and not trying to switch lanes or get ahead in traffic that was so dense that it was clear there was no way to do that, but instead to go to a place of acceptance and trust and see, well, maybe we get there late, maybe we don't. And lo and behold, we got there late. We managed to find a parking lot, ran into the restaurant, and there was no damage. They had our table. We had a lovely dinner. We raced off to the venue where the band was going to be, and there, within, I don't know, 100 feet of the entrance, was actually a metered parking place. I've never been to this place before. I pulled a quick U-turn, had this amazing parking space that, for all I know, wouldn't have been there 5 minutes earlier or later, pulled in. We go into the venue, and the place is empty. Why? Because the show starts at 7, but there was a second warm-up band. So as it turns out, everything worked out absolutely perfectly. Uh-huh. To me, that is an example of mana and yes, a miracle. It wasn't a Red Sea miracle in the sense that I really needed the waters to part. It was more a reassurance and a sense of, see, if you can let go, it will be handled for you. Another example, very seemingly small, but you know, I'm a psychiatrist. I see psychotherapy patients in my office, and frequently I'll try to change the schedule because someone needs to be in at a certain time, and they can only do that time, and other people are more flexible. So I had someone I needed to call or email to change a time, and you know, she emails me back and says, oh, I needed to change that time anyway, and thank you, that's perfect. That's a miracle. It's a demonstration that mind is one and that what will benefit me also benefits her. So I guess in sort of winding up this phase of today's talk, I want to make the point that if you are new to the idea that there is more to the physical world than meets the eye, by all means, ask for help. Manifest away and enjoy it. But at a certain point, recognize that the getting of things is what the ego is all about, and it will never satisfy us. And by things, I also mean experiences, relationships, as things that will, you know, once I have him or her, I will walk into the sunset and be happy forever. I include all of that. Whereas the only thing that will make us truly happy is fulfilling the function, the special function that God and Holy Spirit have given us in Course in Miracles terms, or that the Moses mind leads us to toward the Promised Land in Exodus terminology, and that at some point that has to be what we want and all that we want. And I'm going to finish this segment with a story that is a classic Zen teaching tale. Many of you have probably heard this before, but I think it bears repeating. And it's about a young man who goes off to India or Tibet to seek out a very wise and revered Zen master who lives in the mountains. And the young man spends weeks getting there and another week trying to find this exalted master, and climbs, you know, up into the Himalayas, and finally reaches the man and says, you know, Master, can you tell me the hidden secrets of the ages and, you know, the wisdom? And the Zen master turns to the young man and says, yes, I can tell you that, but would you like a cup of tea first? And the young seeker says, yes, I'd love a cup of tea. And so the Zen master sets out a teacup and brews the tea and begins to pour it. And he pours, and he keeps pouring, and the tea is spilling from the teacup and pouring all over and flooding. And the seeker finally says, stop, stop, what are you doing? You know, what's going on? And the master looks at him and says, you know, my son, you are like this teacup. You are already full. There's no room for new wisdom. You have to become empty in order to receive that wisdom. And so to the extent that we believe that there are goals out there to be fulfilled, to achieve, things that we still want, things that we still need, we are full. And we can't receive then what spirit would bring to us. When we recognize that our task is to empty ourselves and receive, then mana falls from heaven, and all we have to do is go out and gather it and be grateful and as A Course in Miracles would put it, fulfill our function, forgive our brothers, find all those little nooks and crannies where ego still, you know, attempts to ambush us, and bring all of those to the light as well. So I'm hoping that has helped put this idea of manifestation in a much broader context of where it fits in the spiritual world. And I'm going to pause there and see, Shar, if you have anything to say, or if maybe there are questioners. I mean, I have more to talk about if we want, but this is a good pause point.
Okay. No, it's a perfect pause point. First of all, I just want to say that was exquisite.
Thank you.
I take notes with everything. So that was very clear, concise, and linear, because we are in time. And your example of going to the concert and how things fall into place when you let go and go with the flow. You went with the flow of traffic instead of trying to resist it. You know,
trickle.
And I've seen you in this instance several times now. Like your trip to New York on the train, and it's funny, you in travel, but it's
yes,
a perfect example of when we let go of what we think is bothering us, what we think is stopping us from reaching the goal and getting to where we want to be in life. So Dr. Bob was trying to get to one place to have a timely meal and then get to the event so that he can have this wonderful life experience and share it with his son. This is an important trip.
Mm.
But, you know, you come up against all the traffic. Okay, now these people are in my way. and how the ego starts to become enraged at the inconvenience, and then you just, and you pulled yourself up and said, okay, I can see peace instead of this, basically. Let go, and then go with the flow of traffic, and it steered you into the perfect, more perfect timing than what you even had planned. And I just wanted to recap that's what the listeners can hear inside the story.
And the reason I think these things happen while traveling is because I think it is a metaphor for making a journey. You know, this is what happens on the journey, literally, when we venture beyond our seemingly safe space, the routine that our ego minds take us through every day, where we think we know what's happening.
Yes, we can only perceive, you know, we can only perceive based on our beliefs and our fears and our hopes. And I love that you said, you know, to the extent that we believe that there are, quote, things out there that will bring us, you know, the fulfillment we're seeking, we're full, and we cannot, I didn't get to finish writing that down, but we cannot bring in more. There's no room for more until we let go of what is filling us, and what basically fills us is what we think. And to let go of our preconceived notions. And then, you know, when I say, okay, I don't know what to do today, you tell me. And then the phone will ring. And then this will happen. Then I get an urge to go do it. And then it flows. My day flows. So, and earlier I had an image in my head. You were saying something about when you said this opportunity can appear as suffering. And there are two ways God answers us. One, by giving
Us what we think we need, and by depriving us of what we think we need.
Oh, by giving us what we want to help us recognize that we really didn't want it, or need it, rather, or by depriving us of what we think we want. And right there I had an image of me in a basket floating down a river. It was a very interesting experience. Does that make sense?
Well, you know, it's a beautiful metaphor for being taken care of. I mean, you know, as a little child, what do we need? You know, we need guidance, a basket, or you know, the river that is such a symbol of flow. So that's how I would understand that.
And for me, as a child, it was a feeling of safety,
mm-hmm.
of, you know, of not feeling abandoned, because I remember way early into my childhood, and I remember feeling that God dropped me off on this planet and left me here. And that's the way I felt. And it's never been the case. We can only deal with what we feel. And then in with that thought and that feeling coming up, and then I get the image of me in a basket. No, you were always taken care of, Charlotte. You were always safe. And that's what I truly believe. So it's interesting, like, as you're talking, like, the experiences I'm having. But we do have a caller on the line. Something about the energy is familiar to me, although I don't know the name. You want to take a call?
Yeah, and you know, and as I said, there are other places I can go with this, but why don't we take the call? And because I don't want to not take the call, and then we'll just see where, you know, we'll empty our cups and see where it leads.
That sounds great. Yes, and that's another reason I thought it was the perfect pause time. So we'll take a question. We can address that, and then I want to hear the rest of what you have to say. So area code 425, I'm bringing on. Hi, welcome to Spiritual Insights. You're on the air.
Hi, am I on the air?
Yes, you are. What's your name?
My name is Lynn, and I've read Psychs to Miracles. I loved it. I'm crazy about it. And I've been a student of the course for about 20 years. So I'll get to my question. I have a longing now that I've had for a long time to be in the field of work. I feel like it's a calling to be a talk show host, like, is it Charlotte?
Yeah,
that type of thing. And I don't know how to get to it, but I don't feel like it's a forced manifestation. I know what you're talking about with that, and I've manifested, you know, parking places and I have a lot of things in my life, but I want to know how to get to that and let go of it and know the difference, because I don't think it's something that I'm trying to feel that is not going to be satisfying.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does. What I hear you saying is that you're feeling a calling. I won't call it a desire, a calling to take your life in a different direction where you feel you can be of service, but you're not sure how to take the first steps or how to sort of implement that. I think there. What I would ask you first, Lynn, is if you picture yourself in that circumstance, you have a show, you're doing, you're interviewing or talking with people who are bringing good wisdom to the world. And if this were all working, what feeling do you have?
Complete satisfaction and arrived and done with the search.
Okay. Then I suggest that you start with that embodiment that is bringing that reality into the physical experience of, okay, this is the feeling that I want. I want that sense of I've gotten to where I want to be, and this works. But be careful, because I think we still conceptualize goals in terms of, now I'm here, there's nothing else to do, or there's no more work. And just judging by my own life, I'm always shocked at how much work is left to be done when I think I've turned a corner. And, in From Plagues to Miracles, I use that metaphor. If anyone's been to Disney World, where you're in a long line and you wind your way through a big room and you get to the end and you think, good, I'm almost there, and you go through the door to find yourself in another room at the back of another long line. I think physical reality is a little like that. For students of A Course in Miracles, the section of the manual for teachers called Development of Trust outlines the stages in the life of a teacher of God and tells how we go through, multiple sorting out phases where we think we have let go, only to discover at a later point that we let go of what we thought was important rather than of everything. So I think if you hold on to that sense of this is the feeling that I want to be at peace, I want to be of service, and I want more of that in my life, and then let go of the specific form, not letting go in the sense of, I give up on that, but not being, wedded to it either. Explore the talk show host thing. Maybe, you and Char can exchange notes on how to do that, how to go about that. But I think sometimes, our hearts know what we want, and the form, maybe we get the form, maybe we don't. I mean, if someone had told me that the book that I would write was on Exodus and the Old Testament, at any point up until about, a few months before starting to write it, I would have looked at them and said, you're nuts. I have no interest in this.
Wow. Yes.
I mean, at Passover, yeah, I had some interest, but I would have said, no, I want to, I'm writing screenplays for spiritual movies So sometimes, we don't know the right form, but we do know that we're ready. And I think that's the quality that is so important to cultivate, is a sense of readiness. And then the other thing I would just make sure of, and I'm not hearing this in what you're saying, Lynn, but is there any little thread of a sense of sacrifice in it at all? If I do this, then I have to give up X, Y, or Z, because that usually will be an obstacle to moving forward.
No, there's none of that. But
I don't hear any.
But that's helpful. What did you say? Am I ready? Or how did you say that?
Yeah.
Ready.
Yeah, the readiness.
Yes. Well, I'll just tell you, this was a small miracle, because when I
There are no sides.
No sides.
Sides
don't matter.
What'd you say?
There's no order of difficulty in miracles. So if it's a miracle, I want to hear it.
Oh, okay. When I called in, I only was calling in to see how to get this on my iPad, and then it said, just stay on the line and you'll be on. So I didn't know I was waiting, and I would have been too afraid to ask the question, but I thought, well, okay, God, I'm on the line. She said 425, how many other people in the country? And so there we go.
Well, bless you. That's wonderful.
What's interesting is that when your number popped up, I immediately recognized it to some degree. And
really?
I don't know you. And I'm looking at the number, and I know that phone number. Anyway, it was odd. So I expected someone I know to say, hey, Char, it's me. Anyway.
Well, now we know each other.
Now we know each other, yes, and we have a lot of work to do. But
well, I was going to say, and there is no such thing as time, and, you know, being an intuitive, Char, yeah, you know, you do know her now, and who knows what you're going to know in the future, so that recognition just could be a flashback from the so-called future.
Absolutely. And so, Lynn, if you're open to it, here's what I picked up on and the guidance I was offered to tell you.
Okay, I'm open.
Okay. All right, so far as me being a radio show host,
yes.
I am pushed to the arts. I grew up on stage. I'm built for this. So there was a side of me all these years, you know, from way back when I had a professional career as a singer, to pursue that and chase after it. And then at one point I had to say, you know, I'm not going to have that sense of fulfillment. People keep attacking me. It was very strange. So I sat down and said, when I was 19, I think I'd rather work on my soul. And that put me on the path that I'm on one side of this path. And then last year, what happened was people started asking me to be on the radio shows to talk about whatever thing, you know, whatever forte was the flavor of the moment, dream interpretation, readings, whatever, past lives. And then I sat down and said, you know what? I can't fight this anymore. I think I need my own show. And I knew that in the back of my head, but I had a lot of excuses as to why I shouldn't do it. And so Bobby asked you the perfect question. There's a sense of readiness. Number two, is there any sense of sacrifice in doing this, in responding to the call to be a radio show host? So my advice to you, from human level, is to do what I did, which was to simply just say yes to spirit and say, okay, I'll do it. I don't know what you want of me. You don't know, and that's where you're at. You don't know kind of what it looks like or what you need to do or how to do it. But in an hour, I can tell you everything you need to know. But if you just say to spirit, yes, I'll do it, everything you need will be placed right in front of you, like it did for me. This happens for me on a daily basis. These miracles we're talking about, you wouldn't believe the day I had. You wouldn't believe the past 8 months and Dr. Bob and I sharing emails where I didn't know how I was going to do it, and someone showed up. And he even told me, he said, you're exhausted. You've got to slow down. I was just so excited. But, you know, he's been cautioning me, you've got to slow down. So I did have to ask myself, is it my ego jumping in and saying, here, Charlotte, work harder, when I really didn't need to. All I had to do was let go. Go with the flow, and everything has worked out perfectly. I barely even had to try outside of typing lists, emails, and making phone calls. That's all the physical effort I really had to do. Is
to
that
get people on the show, to start your show.
To start the show, I'm extremely detailed, organized, efficient, you know, and so I took pride in producing a show that I wanted to present on as professional a platform as possible. But as far as making it happen, I didn't have to try.
And
everything came to me effortlessly. The people, the man who did my intro was my supervisor at a job from 5 years ago. That explains why I had to work in that crummy place, doesn't it? Does that make sense? I said it that way to be blunt, because when I look back at the whole experience, the whole job was about tricking people, and I couldn't sleep at night. And yet, there was Tommy, who was like a little beacon of light who understood little Charlotte. And then when I did that, he's the first person I called. I said, if you have the time, do you think you can do this? And he says, no, here's what we're going to do. First you need an intro, then we're going to do this. And he laid out the plan. I didn't have to do anything. Tommy did it. But that's what I'm saying to you. Just say yes, and Spirit will put everything in front of you. And I wrote your phone number down, if that's okay. And I can make an appointment.
That's wonderful.
And I will tell you everything I did and make it easy for you. Okay?
Thank you, Charlotte. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, my sister. I'm here. Thank you for the call. It's an excellent question and really added to the conversation. And now I'm going to let Bob finish up his second phase. I'm going to put you on hold so you can continue to listen, okay?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Lynn. And I'll call you probably Saturday.
All right, I'll be waiting.
Okay, all right.
Thank you, Lynn. So
that was terrific.
Yeah, that's, I mean, quite lovely.
I know I was a little wordy, but.
You were, I know that. She was asking for help, and what better person?
Okay.
But sometimes when you have a sense that you want to move forward, sometimes it's really tough to know whether it's ego or whether it's spirit. And therefore, you know, what I would gently suggest is take a few steps, and does the path seem to open, do things, you know, work, and be patient with this too. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, instant manifestation, yeah, maybe you get it early on, but at a certain point, you know, sometimes there are some obstacles, or you get so much of it, like you were describing, Char, that you almost start to burn out.
Mm-hmm.
But take a few steps and see, is, you know, if you think you want to do something and all you get is resistance, then probably you need to turn away. In my career, I spent 10 years writing screenplays. I wrote what I consider to be an exquisite television pilot about a psychiatric unit with a mystical psychiatrist among all different kinds of characters that a top Hollywood agent was interested in. I wrote movies that almost got produced and then one that did get produced but got destroyed by the people making it. And at a certain point, you know, it only took me 10 years. I woke up and said, okay, this, you know, I keep hitting a wall. I keep hitting a wall. What does that mean? It's not the path for me right now. It may never be the path for me. My ego wanted that. My ego decided this is how I will, you know, teach spirit through movies.
Mm-hmm.
So take the steps, but then pay attention to the feedback. You know,
mm-hmm.
And I believe that if it is a genuine path, you will be led, you will be guided, people will show up just like you're describing, Char.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not, you can push and you can be, you know, brilliant, and you're still going to meet resistance and resistance upon resistance. And that's not punishment. It just means that you're wandering out of your function. A metaphor for this, and this is something I did want to share, in terms of the belief that we know what we want. I think that probably for everyone listening, and you and me, and, you know, we have to recognize that we're all pretty immature spiritually. And by immature, I don't mean fatuous. I just mean, you know, we're relatively new to the game. Even if we've gone through it a couple of lifetimes, we're not enlightened. If we were, we probably, you know, would be working in a little shop somewhere, making people happy just by smiling at them. So what we want is a little bit like if you went up to a five-year-old kid and said, okay, what do you want? Law of attraction is going to bring it to you. The secret is going to bring it to you. Well, that kid might say, I want piles of cookies and, you know, hot fudge sundaes, and I want Barbie dolls. And the things that a five-year-old would want are not things that are necessarily going to help that five-year-old grow.
No, he's going to wind up with a mouthful of cavities and diabetes.
Bingo. Exactly.
And a stomach ache.
Exactly.
Sorry,
and so no, you nailed the point. And so, you know, if we as parents wouldn't give our five-year-olds whatever they want, so that they can learn that the world truly is their oyster and they can manifest anything, because some things aren't conducive to growth and health, then why would Holy Spirit or the Moses mind bring us anything that would actually get in the way of our ultimate spiritual growth? And remember, from the Course in Miracles perspective or the Exodus perspective, the Holy Spirit, you know, knows the whole plan. Holy Spirit and the Christ mind, the Moses mind, they stand at the very end of time, and it's this, you know, wonderful holographic image that I get when I think about this, where all the paths have been, you know, woven together, and we've all returned to a state of oneness. You know, Holy Spirit stands at the end of time. It's kind of like those movies where someone goes back in time and knows exactly what's going to happen in the stock market and buys all the right stocks because they've stood at the end point and they know that, you know, gee, if I bought Xerox in the early 60s, I'm going to make a lot of money. And if I got, you know, Microsoft in 1989 or whatever. So Holy Spirit knows exactly what you need, exactly, mm-hmm. in ways that you can't begin to guess, and will bring those to you to the extent that you're receptive and ready for it. But the five-year-old doesn't know, and we can expand that. You know, a 15-year-old has needs that are completely different than a five-year-old, but a 15-year-old's needs aren't necessarily going to be helpful either. You know, I want to be popular. When I'm 16, I want, you know, thus and such a car. I want, you know, him as my boyfriend, her as my girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
I want cheap thrills. No, you know, that's not necessarily helpful. So at almost any age of the life cycle, we can see that the things we want are kind of are conditioned by where we are at that time. But none of them are eternal. None of them are really about lasting happiness. And in the in workbook lesson of A Course in Miracles, I think it's 133, I Will Not Value What Is Valueless, it makes the point that, you know, for something to be of value, it has to last forever. You know, what it brings to us can't fade in and out with the day. I mean, we all know what it's like to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
I think even the most, the person afflicted with the worst depression somewhere in life has had moments of happiness. So the question isn't happiness, it's how do we get to abiding happiness, lasting happiness? And that's where our plan for happiness, our plan for salvation, our plan for what we think we want to manifest isn't going to work. And, you know, some of us are stubborn and might go at it for 10 years at a time before we realize we need to turn aside. Others might get it on the first try. Doesn't matter. As long as we get to that place of, you know, my plan, my ego's plan for what's going to make me happy doesn't work. But again, going with the Course in Miracles workbook, God's will for me is perfect happiness. Lesson 101. And, you know, my function and my happiness are one. You know, 76. So this is rife through A Course in Miracles, this theme, and it is so important. If we think we know, then we're like that seeker with the cup of tea overflowing. There's no room for anything else. But when we realize that we're ready to be guided, we're ready to be led, then Holy Spirit, who stands at the very end of time, can move us forward at exactly the right pace. Some of us want to go really, really fast, and others are too cautious. I mean, Lynn, if you're still listening, you know, you didn't want to talk on the phone, but Holy Spirit set it up that, hey, here's your perfect opportunity, and you asked a
mm-hmm.
great question.
And it seems accidental. Yeah, she is listening.
Okay.
But, Lynn, check out lesson 133 in the book, and I have it open right now. It's absolutely synonymous with everything that Dr. Bob is saying.
Yeah,
that's good.
It's a good one. I mean, they're all good.
Oh yeah.
Sure.
But then you know, I had to turn and see, you know, what is unreal cannot be threatened. You know, or what is real cannot be threatened. You know, the whole major three line thing. I just lost it. I just put it away. But you know what I'm saying.
What is real cannot be threatened. What is unreal does not exist. Herein lies the peace of God.
There you go. Thank you. for pulling
so
that out of my head.
Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing
right.
unreal exists. Yeah.
It's not like I don't have that memorized, but I took my finger out of the page, and I was kind of looking at the energy of that and then the energy of the lesson. It was kind of cool. Anyway, but yes, that's absolutely exquisite advice. You know, remember, too, you know, my favorite line, my favorite quote that pulls me back, it kind of reins me in, the ego will forever have you chasing what it does not want you to find. So to determine, like
yes.
Dr. Bob said a few moments ago, is it the ego that makes me crave this like a drug, or is it the spirit that is calling me to fulfill my function? Because blessed is he who learns that the will of God is his own. So when we're called to do something, like I have no reason to go to Walmart, but something tells me I need to go there, and then somebody needs help, which is a lot of my experiences.
Mm.
So if it's a calling and you say yes, things will fall into place. If it's one of the tricks of the ego throwing something shiny into your view to distract you from your real calling, then you'll find out that there's struggle, and you trip a lot. Would you agree, Bob?
Yeah, and the more open you are and the more sort of conscious of your path you are, the faster you'll realize it. It won't take 10 years. It'll take 10 seconds.
Yes.
Sitting in traffic last night, it didn't take me very long to go, okay, this is a learning opportunity. Thank you.
I do a lot of inner work in traffic, believe it or not.
Hmm.
I do.
Yeah, for me, it's it represents an obstacle, and I just have to, you know, learn and accept and go with the flow, and and when I do it, you know, it always works out. I mean, but so I think, you know, to kind of sum up, manifestation is great, but the word itself kind of focuses us on physical things and physical reality. Oh, and there are people who are wonderful at manifesting. But if you really explore it, what I have found is that they're wonderful in one arena of life, and in another, nothing's going right. So there are people who are amazing manifestors of money, and you know whatever they touch, it just seems to go right. But their relationships are a disaster. There are people who, you know, career is amazing, but health isn't working. So I think, you know, we look at examples of manifestation and think, oh, this person has it all, but there's usually a hidden shadow side where it's not working, and that's where their lessons are. So, you know, in a word, wherever you are on the path, you know, be open to what spirit brings. And if what you need is the kind of miracle that will just kind of turn your head so that you go, I need to walk a different direction, and spirit is that direction, then that's great. If you need a safe passage through an impossible situation, then a parting of the Red Sea is appropriate. And at a certain point, you know, it's all miracles all the time, at which point they look like boring old manna coming in every day. I mean, the Hebrew people get really sick of manna. They're like, come on, is there anything else? Because they don't appreciate that there is nothing else that they would need. So I'm hoping that this was helpful. I don't really have a lot else to say, and I noticed that we're at an hour, so...
No, that was perfect.
Great.
I think it was a perfect amount of information in the amount of time allotted. And just to emphasize your point earlier, that the manna, the Hebrews didn't see that, you know, it could taste with it however they wanted it to taste. So if they were craving one flavor or another, they could have done that. But it comes in the present tense is what I want to emphasize.
Exactly, yes.
Be in the present tense. Is this what I'm to be doing now? Because what you're doing now, Spirit is guiding you to the point, and it's an important point, so I need to make it, to the point where you need to be, even though we're in time, say 2 months from now, you need to be ready. You talked about readiness. What I like to call readiness is energetic preparedness. And we are where we are now because that's what we're prepared to process. What you will do in that two-month period, looking at this imaginary goal of 2 months, what you will need to do to prepare to be where you need to be energetically in that two-month time frame is what you need to do in the present tense, and it will take you there effortlessly. And the miracles will arrive, and there is no big or small. They're all the same amount of energy, but it will prepare you for where you need to be. But my ultimate goal, whether you call it a radio show or the book or, you know, whatever, I just want to be peaceful. And I'm finally open to you tell me what will be what will help me experience peace, because I don't know. I've tried, and those things outside of me did not work. So I'm willing to do whatever it is that will bring me to my ultimate peace, and I know I'll be glad of everything that occurred. So, and that's the
Perfect.
Point I wanted
Thank
to make.
Thank you. No, that's a really important point, and I'm glad you added it. You know,
I appreciate it.
Yeah, when we set our sights on something real, peace, now, you know, it's kind of like, you know, we've lassoed and tied our journey to bedrock. It's like that parable
mm-hmm.
of Jesus is about, you know, scattering the seeds. Now the seeds have landed in real soil where they can, you know, grow fourscore or whatever it is, and not landed on rock or shallow soil or the birds coming in lifting them up, which are all just various ways of looking at, you know, ego goals, ego desires that don't allow that deep, that spiritual seed to really, land and grow. So thank you. Yeah. You know, is this a path that's bringing me more peacefulness? And you can check into that at any point. How am I doing right now with peacefulness? Does this feel, you know, in you and I doing this talk, you know, are we
mm-hmm.
feeling more anxious about it? I don't know. Each time we talk, I feel better about it. This is like this is good stuff.
I feel completely relaxed. And I want to point out, because I'd like to try to echo the thoughts of the listeners, and what is going through my mind in a pictorial at the moment is the past 5 years have not been easy. And it may have felt like life was really trying to break your spirit to a lot of people. But I can say this. Was it trying to get you to let go of something? Because several times throughout the past 5 years, I really felt like I was at the end of my rope. And then it occurred to me, let go of the rope. And I didn't feel so hard. I don't even have the adjectives. I mean, literally, at the end of my rope. And it's and just, you hear the voice, let go of the rope. Let go of the struggle. And go with the flow. And I found that, I've tested it. Within 3 weeks, my life was different. And what I was praying for arrived. But we have to let go. And we can't dictate the outcome and what it looks like. So I want peace. And I'm willing to accept whatever that looks like in God's eyes. Because I know that His will is also my own. And I'm not going to let my ego tell me that doesn't look like I pictured it. I'm sure it'll be a whole lot better than I can picture it.
Absolutely.
Can I get an amen? Right?
Amen. Yep.
Well, this was fantastic. And our next segment with Dr. Bob will be December 12th at 3 p.m. Eastern. It will be every second Tuesday of each month. And I'm pretty sure they're going to be just like this. So this is...
Yes.
That was exquisite, Bob.
Thank
Ooh,
you
I got
for
the chill.
Providing the forum, Char.
You're welcome.
Yep.
My
All
pleasure.
Right.
Okay,
I'll talk to you in December.
All right, Dr. Bob, everyone, I hope you enjoyed this segment. Please send us feedback. Please come reach out to us on Facebook. Dr. Bob's page is From Plagues to Miracles. Mine is Spiritual Insights. And we'd love to hear your feedback, comments, thoughts, questions. Please send those along. Until next time. God bless, as always, and be at peace. So long for now.